From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. President Bush today will announce the withdrawal of about 8,000 U.S. troops from Iraq by early next year. NPR's J.J. Sutherland reports.
While it is a drawdown slower than some may have liked, a Marine battalion and an Army brigade won't be heading to Iraq this fall as planned. Instead, those troops will be headed to a war that isn't going all that well, Afghanistan. The Marines will replace a unit training Afghan troops that is leaving in November. The Army Brigade, the about 4,000 soldiers of the 3rd Brigade Combat Team of the 10th Mountain Division, who were scheduled to deploy to Iraq, will take a little longer to get there, arriving in February. While Iraq has shown remarkable, if fragile, stability recently, the situation in Afghanistan has been deteriorating, and there have been calls for months to send more troops there. J.J. Sutherland, NPR News.
Hurricane Ike is a Category 1 storm with 80-mile-an-hour maximum sustained winds. Forecasters expect it to strengthen again as it leaves Cuba and moves into the Gulf of Mexico this weekend. Forecasters say it could hit either Louisiana or Texas. The National Hurricane Center is warning that isolated tornadoes and waterspouts are possible in the Florida Keys and South Florida today. At last report, Ike was headed toward Havana. The storm has forced the evacuation of 1.2 million people. Much of Cuba is without electricity and phone service is spotty. Thousands of homes have been damaged. The widower of Benazir Bhutto, Asif Ali Zardari, has been sworn in as president of Pakistan. He took the oath in the heavily guarded presidential palace. Members of his family and Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai were among the guests. NPR's Philip Reeves filed this report.
I, Asif Ali Zardari, do solemnly swear.
As Zardari took the oath, his son Bilawal and two daughters were watching from an audience packed with Pakistan's top military officers and political elite. This marks the start of a new chapter in Pakistan's political drama, which has seen, within less than a year, a state of emergency, the assassination of Benazir Bhutto, elections, and the resignation of Pervez Musharraf as president. The audience greeted their new president enthusiastically. Clad in a pinstriped suit, the 53-year-old Zardari beamed happily. Yet the general public in Pakistan seems wary of him. Zardari's considered pro-Washington in the war on terror, unlike most Pakistanis who deeply resent U.S. military strikes within their territory. They're worried, too, about the worsening state of Pakistan's economy. Philip Reeves, NPR News.
Oil prices fell below $106 a barrel in Asian trading today on a strengthening U.S. dollar and expectations that a weakening Hurricane Ike may not disrupt Gulf of Mexico drilling and refining operations. Oil was down $1.23 to $105.60 a barrel. This is NPR News. A 21-month-old tree-sitting protest at the University of California, Berkeley, appears to have entered its final stage. University officials have chopped down all but two trees in a dispute over a planned sports facility. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports.
Officials at UC Berkeley want to build an athletic training facility next to the campus football stadium on the site of what was a grove of oaks and redwoods. But local protesters occupied the trees since December 2006, insisting that the university's planned facility violated environmental and earthquake safety regulations. They were supported by a local neighborhood group, the City of Berkeley, and the California Oak Foundation. But the university prevailed in virtually all of the recent legal challenges. 40 trees have been cut, leaving one that will be transplanted and one still occupied by protesters. University officials hope the protesters will come down voluntarily, but they hint at some forcible action, saying the clock is ticking. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.
According to an independent study, the United States remains dangerously vulnerable to chemical, biological, and nuclear attacks. The study was made by the Bipartisan Partnership for a Secure America. It says those weapons still pose the greatest threat facing the country. It also claims that efforts have slowed to minimize the risk of these weapons being created and used against the U.S. The study also says that worsening relations with Russia could complicate matters. A separate report from House Democrats says the Bush administration has missed numerous opportunities to improve the nation's safety. The State Department has rejected the Democrats' claims. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News. In Washington.